This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Vantage Health Plan. Your number, 877-217-5757. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. 9 days away from Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. becoming the President of the United States, the 46th, unless Mike Pence becomes president between now and then, and then, of course, Biden would be the 47th president. But we're going to talk about this and more with Scott Wilfong on the right, Mary Patricia Ray on the left. There is much to catch up with them about, and not all of it involves politics. There is the national championship football game tonight, and Mary Patricia is a proud graduate of Ohio State University, and Scott, a proud graduate of Illinois.
Yep.
Scott graduated from a blue state, and Mary Patricia from now a red state, and they wear red.
And they wear scarlet, Jim. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's like some people around here think you can't wear like leopard print to a Tigers game, and I mean it's scarlet. It's not red.
I think it's pretty.
It's
red.
Also the Ohio State University. My mom might be listening. She'd be very disappointed.
Well, does that make it the Louisiana State University?
I don't know, but we're a land-grant university like LSU,
yeah,
and we have another university in Ohio that, you know, in the middle of the last century, people, for whatever reason, kept getting us confused. So we're now the Ohio State
University. And Illinois is the oldest land-grant university in the country.
Scott and I are from the land-grant Holy Land.
Both from Big Ten schools. And tonight, Ohio State is an 8.5-point underdog against Alabama.
You know how I like underdogs, Jim? I'll take it. Listen, I like to be in a national championship every couple of years, and it's good to graduate from a school that is.
Well, Mary Patricia was she was involved with Governor John Bel Edwards. But truth be told, in 2015, by the end of the election, he was the favorite. It didn't start that way.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But on election day, I think people would have been surprised had David Vitter pulled it out, and he lost by a mile. Mm-hmm. And Louisiana is one of those states in the South where we do have a Democratic governor, but the only Democratic governor in the Deep South. And in Georgia, we now have two U.S. senators who are Democratic. But in the Southeastern Conference of the 11 states, 22 U.S. senators, 20 Republicans, and 2 Democrats from Georgia. Does that mean Georgia changes its colors to blue? What do you think, Scott Wilfong?
That was a surprise. I mean, I'll say I did not see both those winning in a non-presidential election, effectively a special election, so to speak, a runoff. But, you know, I mean, when you got, you know, 1,000 people in the back room filling out ballots, it tends to go that way.
Believe that's what happened?
Oh, yeah.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in Louisiana, we had an overwhelming mail balloting activity in the lead election, and nobody questioned whether Louisiana was legitimate. I wonder why.
Well, I think when you just look at the results, Trump got 58% in 2016.
Right.
He got 58% in 2020. It pretty much matched with the electorate. I think the fact that 2 years ago, Georgia's governor was elected by 200,000 votes, that all their Republican statewide elected officials have won with comfortable margins, and then now all of a sudden, states don't change that fast.
He did not win by a comfortable margin. It was much closer than 200,000 votes, wasn't it? And, of course, Stacey Abrams went out, and she got people registered to vote, and that's probably
I don't think it was all of a sudden, Jim. I think you're right. It wasn't all of a sudden that the percentages of different candidates from Democrat to Republican changed in Georgia. In fact, that discounting of the work that was done is part of the bias that leads people to create these mystical, magical stories of made-up voter fraud. And there was 2 years of incredibly hard work, not just by Stacey Abrams, but by many people. It also showed up down ballot. It's not as if this was the only set of races in Georgia that shows that the electorate has swung to the left.
But only in 4 states. That's what's just hard to believe, that Biden couldn't outperform Obama anywhere except those 4 states.
Well, I think that when you concentrate your resources on those 4 states, it's not any wonder that it had an impact.
So the Democrats just didn't care about Obama.
I know math is really hard for some people.
The Kemp Abrams race was 50.2% to 48.8, 1,978,000 to 1,924,000. That's not 200,000 votes. That's 54,000.
Okay, it was 2 points.
No, it was 50.2 to 48.
Yeah, it was a 2-point race.
It was a 1.4% race.
Mm.
48.8 to 50.2. So it was razor tight. And Georgia is one of those states that seems to be
evolving.
For
all my friends out there like Scott that are visual guys, visual learners, you can look at the math on the paper. Just put the put the math on a piece of paper and you can look at it. Mm-hmm. Very visual.
Well, the president also lost the overall vote in 2016.
Roll Tide.
Now the Trump never cracked 47%. Never.
Never cracked 47%
of the national vote.
You're talking about in either election?
In either election.
Yeah, but I mean, who cares? You don't. That's like saying, you know, your football team didn't have the most first downs. Who cares?
No, but
did they have the most points?
That means that at the very least, more than 53% of the voters were against him twice.
Well, and that's why it's such an easy stretch to get to the fact that polls yesterday showed more than 50% of people think he should be impeached. That's math, too. Just a couple of percent.
Okay, we're going to go there. But before we do, as I mentioned in the lead into today's show, intrigue in the Democratic and Republican parties. Katie Bernhardt is the new chair of the Democratic Party. Lafayette, now, is she a lawyer? She's
a graduate, like me, a graduate of a Louisiana law school.
Does that make her a lawyer?
She is not licensed to practice law in Louisiana, and neither am I.
Okay.
But and we've never,
and
let's just be clear. We don't like run around acting like we can practice law. We have other jobs and jobs we like.
Okay. But,
to my friends out there practicing law, God bless you.
She had to fight to get this job, and she has it, and the Democratic Party in Louisiana is not in particularly good shape, even though we have a Democratic governor. What can she do?
Oh, so many great things to do coming up in the next couple of years. And I certainly do not speak for Katie, and I don't work for the party. It's my pleasure to work for a lot of moderate candidates that many members of our party don't seem to like, Republicans and Democrats. But that said, you know, I'll just speak for myself. I think over the next couple of years, there'll be a ton of national interest in Louisiana because we have one of the only... for lack of a better term, insurrectionist senators, the only one that's up for re-election in 2022, and that's John Neely Kennedy. So I would expect a lot of national donor interest, a lot of National Democratic Party interest in what's going to happen with his race, whether a Democrat can get over the finish line victorious
well,
or
Democrat,
not.
If a Democrat's competitive, it's going to be John Bel Edwards. There isn't another Democrat out there who probably could make a run viably against Kennedy. Will the governor run against Senator Kennedy?
I have no knowledge that he will, and everything that I have heard from his camp suggests that he is not interested in doing that at this time. But, I, you know, that's the answer you give until you're ready to say you are. I guess, Jim, what I would say is, obviously, I think Democrats in Louisiana would be wise to line up behind the governor if he's going to run. However, as you know, I have worked on many races, issue-based and candidate-based, where people thought only this person can win, only that person can win, and a lot changes in a two-year time period. That could mean something good for another Republican. It could mean something good for a Democrat.
But there's no Democrats that have a statewide platform that would be philosophically like John Bel Edwards, pro-gun, pro-life. That would check those boxes.
Well, I think
when you're
Foster
about,
Campbell, but he already lost once to
he's
Kennedy.
He's already lost.
But he
ran as a pro-choice.
Foster Campbell's
no,
not
he pro- did not.
Well, he ran as a moderate, questionable on guns, I remember.
No.
There was some real, I know from the inside, there were some people that were.
He would be more.
Actually, he featured himself shooting a shotgun as the disclaimer of his television ads, so I would have to completely disagree with that. As someone who actually isn't quite on board with Foster's and with the governor's views on guns, I do help write ads like that, so I tend to remember them.
Yeah.
Well, there's also
talk that Garrett Graves is looking at this race, and I think he would be a nightmare for Kennedy because he would quite possibly get a lot of the Democratic vote and enough of the Republican vote to be a major challenger. What if that happens, Scott?
I mean, if it was heads up, I would agree with you. I think Garrett would beat John in a head-up race. But the problem is you can't stop a Democrat from getting in that race.
But we have this open primary, though, where it would probably be a runoff between, let's say, it could be a runoff between any of the three. We saw that with Romer, Edwards, and Duke.
But if Garrett couldn't get, if Garrett could not claim any of the Democrat vote, if that was sucked up by a Democrat candidate, John Kennedy has the statewide constituency already.
I think you're probably
popular, but he's not that
well. That goes against the grain of the theory that was, you know, the Jay Darden theory in 2015. And so I guess, you know, you can write your story however you want to write it for your donors. But the big difference in this race with John Kennedy between anything compared to anything else we've seen in Louisiana in a primary, not in a runoff, is that people outside Louisiana are going to have a lot to say about it because they're going to be committed to donating to beat him after what he did this week.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. We will go to the phones. And there has been some intrigue in the Republican Party hierarchy as well. Until very recently, very, very recently, Eddie Rasponi was looking at being party chair. What's happening? We'll talk about it when we return. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Just a moment. We'll go to the phones. But Scott Wilfong is here. And a few years ago, he lost a spirited battle for party chair of the Republican hierarchy in Louisiana to Louis Gurvich. And there have been reports circulating that Eddie Rasponi is trying to get that job from Louis Gurvich. What's going on, Scott?
Well, you know, we got rumblings back in August that there were candidates being recruited for the committee, you know, by Rasponi. But there weren't that many. There's 230 seats on the committee. And recently, like in the last few weeks, he actually sent an email saying that he had recruited, I think, 18 candidates, which, you know, but he announced his candidacy for chairman and basically tried to lay the blame for his loss in the governor's race at the foot of the party, which is absurd. I think people on both sides of the spectrum understand that the person who lost that race is Eddie Rasponi. But basically tried to call out the party for, you know, failure and all this and claimed that he could lead. And then ran for about 2 weeks. And then I heard yesterday, I got word that he was dropping out. And I think it was because, you know, Lewis has locked up a lot of the votes, and I think he realized he didn't want another embarrassing loss on his record. So that's where we are. I don't know. I assume another candidate will jump in, but right now, you know, I would have said 3 or 4 months ago that Lewis probably would not be reelected, and today I think he probably will be reelected on January 30th.
Well, if you've been watching the news and listening to WRKF, reading newspapers, you know that the president is under siege, and perhaps for good reason. 9 days before Joe Biden is inaugurated, the current president will not attend the inauguration. And there are those who continue to say that he was robbed of the election, even though the results show dramatically otherwise. And then there are others who say that he was not responsible for the riot. Deborah Todd, posting on Facebook, writes, "They were armed with tools designed to break windows. This was intentional and well-planned. These folks were not part of the Trump rally. I've been to many Trump rallies. Not a single person was violent or had weapons. I watched live as the Capitol guards let everyone in. I was shocked at that. I've been at the Capitol many, many times. The security is tremendous. Where were they? Normally, these are heavily armed officers at every entrance. Someone on the inside let these people in." That from Deborah Todd. Your thoughts, Mary Patricia?
Well, keeping up with the conspiracy theories is exhausting, Jim. It is exhausting. And keeping up with the double standards and hypocrisy of those who led and support and continue to support this absolutely insurrectionist act on the United States Capitol is also exhausting. You know, I've been to a couple of these rallies on the left where that were peaceful. Over the last couple of years,
like Portland,
do you know
that the summer
we when those folks rally or protest, there would have been free hand warmers. There would have been hot chocolate being passed out. These are people that know how to protest. So to suggest that somehow this is a trick of the mind to make people think that Trump supporters were the ones doing violence to police officers, there is video of it. Is absolute. I mean, it's come to a place where it's like undignified to respond to it.
Well,
but I will say this: I think Deborah makes a good point on that, and no one has given me an answer for that. In today's world, it's hard to get past the front at Winn-Dixie without a mask on. How in the world did the Capitol Police just let these people run? I mean, once they were inside, no one's condoning what they did inside. But, I mean, the Louisiana—
Oh, I think there are some people, though, that have condoned what they did inside.
But I'm not.
That's
and what I'm saying is
Scott.
There's no way that hundreds of people can just simply walk through the doors of the Capitol with like you said, tools and weapons and things like that. There's a police force.
They
go to the Louisiana Capitol.
I also
think that if there was wrongdoing by any of the Capitol police officers, that the investigation's going to uncover that. They're going to be prosecuted. But to suggest that they simply walked through is also not correct. There are videos of them breaking windows and going in through the windows. There are videos of them dragging a police officer face downstairs. Those are real things that actually happen. They didn't just walk through.
Tom in Woodland Ridge, we'll start with you. Tom, you're on with Scott and Mary Patricia. Hello, Tom.
Good morning. How are you, Jim?
Fine.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Mary Patricia. Just a quick aside to Rob. Although it may be tough to get into Winn-Dixie without a mask, I'm sure you try each time you go shopping. So Republicans really need to make a determination whether you're a Republican or you're a Trumplican. And if you're a Trumplican, you need to find another party, find another way of communicating, and be your own party. But to say that the 74 million people who may have chosen Trump over Biden all support what's taken place over the last 2.5 months is just the biggest fantasy of all the Republican fantasy.
All right.
Well, I think he makes a good point. I mean, sadly, that's the way American elections come down to. It's a binary choice. You know, I don't think that everybody that voted for Joe Biden, there was certainly a lot of Bernie Sanders people that would have rather had Bernie Sanders be president. That doesn't mean that they identify mostly with Biden. They just identified more so than with Trump. Same thing with the Republican Party.
I just keep thinking, Jim, how much, you know, we have a big game tonight, how much sports mirrors real life. And I remember when Mitt Romney's 49% statement was just the most dramatic, crazy thing that had ever happened in politics. I remember when selling your PlayStation for a tattoo as a college football player was the end of the world. And I look now at our college football teams that ignore much more egregious things, and I look then to our actual society that is willing to overlook much more egregious things.
I remember when Hillary killed the ambassador. I remember that was a big deal.
You're a smart guy. You know that's not true.
Well, like she said, what difference does it make, right?
She didn't kill the ambassador. It's ridiculous for you to even say that. You should be ashamed of yourself. Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, Jim. And I couldn't agree with you more that Mr. Will Falls should be ashamed of himself, along with every other political prostitute in Louisiana, like Scalise, that would choose to do this.
Let's hold back on the name call. Do you have a question? Yeah. Rebel, are you there? Okay. Well, by the way, the Michigan results was... you talk about a decided margin of victory. It was Biden 50.6, Trump 47.8. That's almost 3 points, 2,804,000 to 2,649,000, 155,000 votes separating them. And yet Garrett Graves voted to negate the Michigan results. Now, actually, it was Pennsylvania, wasn't it?
Pennsylvania.
It was Pennsylvania. Yeah, Pennsylvania mm-hmm. was even more lopsided.
Michigan was
a little bit closer than Pennsylvania. You're right. But Graves and Higgins and Scalise and Johnson, they all voted to negate the results in Pennsylvania. Kennedy went
the other direction.
He went the other direction. But the Pennsylvania vote occurred hours after the riot, and yet they still voted that way. In Pennsylvania, was 3,458,000 to 3,377,000, so 181,000 between the two candidates in Pennsylvania, and yet this was like it was Florida in 2000, 537 votes. It was not close, Scott. It's apparent that Joe Biden won this election.
When 100,000 ballots come in all at once with nobody voted. Remember, there's a dozen elections on the ballot in these states, mm-hmm. and 100,000 ballots come in with only the president marked. They didn't even care to vote for state rep. They didn't care to vote for Congress, Senate, none of these. They only voted for that person. And then to tell me that the national mood where Trump wins Ohio easily.
Don't you have the option of only voting for president?
Yeah. Do you think 100,000 people did it?
sometimes that happens in Louisiana. For example, in Louisiana, Cassidy got a higher percentage than Trump, but Trump got more votes. So that means more people voted in the presidential election.
Absolutely, yeah. There's drop-off. But when you're talking about mail ballots that are just simply marked, anybody could mark those ballots. We don't know if the actual voter marked those ballots.
You know, they say in politics that if you're explaining, you're losing.
All right, Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on with Scott and
Yeah, I got two questions and a quick point. The quick point is that I live out here in Walker, and I guarantee you there's a lot of races that I didn't vote on because there wasn't anyone that interested me. There was no one I would have voted for during the last election for local stuff. Mm-hmm. So the first question is going to be about Jeff Landry, okay, and that it now appears that he was instrumental in fomenting the insurrection in Washington, D.C. He was recruiting people to go to the insurrection. Okay. And then my other, what are we going to do about Landry? That's local.
All right. We'll get Scott and Mary Patricia to respond to Jim when we return and also return to the phones. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And Scott Wilfong is on the right. Mary Patricia is on the left. And we'll go back to the phones in a moment. I'm looking through a flurry of emails, as you can imagine. Amber Brewer writes, Scott, you mentioned Capitol Police allowed these people in. Are you calling for police reform?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've called for police reform for some time now. I'm actually kind of more on the moderate side of all that.
All right.
But there clearly was a failure and or hopefully not, but an inside job.
All right. There's called a coup. There was a coup.
And Philip Gould says Romney's comment was 47%, not 49%. Tisk, tisk, Mary Patricia.
It's probably 51% now, though, the reality of it.
And I'm telling you, I got a bunch of emails, but and I can't get to all of them, of course. And some of them are kind, and some of them
some of them are really mean to Scott.
But if I can mention, the earlier caller said something about Jeff Landry, and these are the type of things that we need to be careful about throwing this out. I'm sure there's some evidence or something he read, but where is this? I haven't heard anything about Jeff Landry being a part of fomenting the attacks.
Encouraging people to go to Washington and challenge the election, and he challenged it himself. And there was no reason to challenge the election. This was the same margin that Bush beat Dukakis by in '88, and if Dukakis had called for... if he'd said he had been robbed of the election, people would have put him in a straitjacket, for good reason.
People on the left and the right have been saying all week that anyone who took actions that led to the enabling or the incitement of this stuff, that they've got to not only just say that it's wrong to do it, but they've got to own their own role in what they did.
Simply saying to go to Washington and make your voices heard are like the Black Lives Matter protesters that said go to Portland, go to Seattle, and take it to the streets. Did they say go burn cars? No, but cars got burned.
Scott,
for all the violence that occurred
in
Portland and Seattle?
When you say that on social media and the comments on the post are things about bringing guns with you, doing violence when you get there and you do nothing about it,
well, show
you
me
are
where
part
Jeff
of the
Landry
problem.
Said that. Okay. Show me where Jeff Landry said that.
But it's not just Jeff Landry. I'm not here to target any individual person. It's a lot of people, and they all owe America an explanation for what they did. They owe us an apology, and they should take responsibility. That's what real leadership does. Take responsibility for your actions.
All right, James and Metairie. James, you're on with Scott and Mary Patricia.
Good morning, Jim. You know, Scott and all these Trump supporters, what they do is deny and then they start blaming others and not take any personal responsibility. Let's not forget what Trump tweeted on December the 20th. He said it was statistically impossible to have lost the election. And then he says, big protest in D.C. on January the 6th. Be there, will be wild. And it was, Jim.
All right. Thank you so much, James and Metairie, for your passion.
And if you go to my Facebook page, I shared a quote by Nancy Pelosi in 2018 where she said, I don't know why there's not rioting in the streets. There probably should be.
All right.
So why don't we call out that? If we kept...
Jeff Landry, I believe, is a Catholic, and Joe Biden will become the second Catholic president. And this is from the National Catholic Register. Catholics voted for Biden over Trump 51-47%, almost exactly the way the national vote went. 51
How did they know
to 47.
That? Do they have like a checkbox at the
exit polls? And it also says, same National Catholic Registry, that in 2016, Trump beat Hillary among Catholics 52-45%. So Joe Biden, being a Roman Catholic, may have won him this election. And I would
not
think
the
Jeff,
first time it's Jeff, done it for a Democrat.
Jeff Landry should be pleased that his fellow Roman Catholic is taking the oath of office come January 20th. Mark in Sherwood. Mark, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Mark.
Yes. How y'all doing?
What's your question?
My comment is that all these people that keep saying that these weren't Trump supporters, including Fox News, is that as far as I know, all the people that have been arrested have been big Trump supporters.
All right. Well,
yeah, because no one could ever lie about that, right?
Well, some of these guys were wearing shirts that said Camp Auschwitz. Others were wearing some that say 6 MWE, 6 million weren't enough. Scott, even the president a day later said these were a bunch of thugs. And the earlier caller is right. Of the 74 million who voted for Trump, most people are certainly not like these jokers. And jokers is a kind word. These thugs, these punks, these idiots who stormed the Capitol. Why don't you just say that they were people who were extremists, who were supportive of the president, but were not reflective of the president's support on the whole?
I don't think anybody's arguing that, of course. But people
are saying they weren't even
Trump
people.
Know. We certainly can see where if you wanted to incite a riot, certainly, I mean, that's not a stretch to think that someone antithetical to Trump and his cause would pretend to be on his side to bring shame and scandal to it. I mean, it's the idea that everyone who claims Trump support somehow has this in their heart. You know, there's an old saying, you know, 100 million gun owners didn't shoot anybody yesterday. Why do we want to take guns away from everybody? Same thing here. 70 million people voted for Donald Trump, and 70,999,000 didn't do anything like this. Why don't we just lay the blame where it is? Instead of trying to say it's the president, it's Jeff Landry. It's a weak effort at trying to cast blame where
point,
it doesn't.
I think Jim's point was that the Trump supporters who were not there, many of them are saying that these people were not Trump supporters, and that is not correct. And there's a reason.
Of
the 120 that have been arrested, they've gone through voting records, Facebook posts. They were Trump supporters. They're not the same kind of Trump supporter you are, but they were Trump supporters, and they stormed the Capitol.
That's like saying there was no voter fraud. Like, we've examined 150 million
votes and concluded there's no voter fraud. But there wasn't enough to overturn the election.
In your opinion.
If there was voter fraud, there was voter fraud on both sides.
How do we know that?
I think that it goes without saying that neither party has a monopoly on propriety or impropriety. They're bad characters in both parties.
But there
is no proof. It's like what Walter Mondale said to Gary Hart, to show me the beef. There's no proof, and it went before the Supreme Court. I remember seeing you 2 days after the election, Scott, and you said those three Supreme Court justices would go with Donald Trump. Well, they didn't.
They didn't.
But you thought they would.
I thought they would, but why do we you know, I remember after the Florida election in 2000, it was 2 or 3 years before the media and people had gone through and researched every vote, and we act like here we are 60 days after a national election. We know unequivocally there was no voter fraud.
The problem
with that comparison is that the candidate conceded in Florida. He accepted the results of the election. He did not incite people to violence. He did not help Nazis storm the Capitol. There's a big difference. So, I mean, Scott, like I told you, the more you're explaining, the more you're losing.
David,
you're on with Scott and Mary Patricia. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to see, it was mentioned earlier that John Kennedy, his re-election coming up or his campaign for re-election coming up in 22, he was one of the insurrectionist senators, as it was described. Is there anyone who would be holding Clay Higgins accountable for?
All right. What about Clay Higgins, who is the king in Lafayette? He blew out Scott Angel.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that I guess my liberal friends don't get. It's okay for a congressman to cast a vote in Congress you don't agree with. It does not make them a traitor, and it does not make them a seditionist. They have every right
this
to approve or reject.
This was on the heels of a traitorous and seditionist.
And again, here we are. We're 6 days removed from this action,
election,
and somehow we know everything
Scott,
about every protester and every
Joe Biden won fair and square. He won.
He won. I don't know that you can say fair and square.
And it wasn't close. It was more than 7 million votes.
The 14th Amendment gives us some very clear guidelines on what our congressmen and women are supposed to be doing and what they cannot do if they wish to continue serving in that role. And it mentions giving comfort.
Well,
to seditionists.
And there wasn't
and
one state, not one state decided by fewer than 10,000 votes.
Okay, and your point?
My point is that there have been much closer elections. Florida by 537 votes. Woody Jenkins by 5,788 votes in Louisiana.
But let's talk about the Electoral College, which you hate so much. Joe Biden couldn't even catch up with Barack Obama's popularity at the height of his popularity. He underperformed in every state except those four where all these irregularities occurred. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona.
Why did Trump outperform Mitt Romney 4 years ago?
Because Mitt Romney was a loser moderate that nobody liked.
Mitt Romney came within 5 million votes in 2012, and Trump lost by more than 7 million votes this time. So Romney is actually a better candidate when you base the comparison of 2020 to 2012. David in Atlanta. David, good morning.
You know, I think this was a clear incident of this mob encouraged and probably controlled by Trump. Trump, I heard reports, was giddy in the White House when this attack on our freedom in Washington was taking place. I think it was a clear effort to kill Nancy Pelosi and the Vice President of the United States. I hope there's a special committee appointed to investigate this. I think the President is an outright murderer.
All right.
You know, I'm going to agree with David in Atlanta. I'm going to agree with him. Not very often do I do this, but I think he makes an excellent point. How about we have a special committee before we start throwing out allegations that Jeff Landry and John Kennedy are traitors?
Why did the president turn on Mike Pence?
I mean, because I think he felt like Pence should have stood up and
do you think Pence should have done something differently than he did?
I mean, there was a real question on the procedure that he could have used. I think as the presiding officer of the Senate, he could
Joint historian Michael Beschloss says he was basically the Burt Parks, the guy who used to host the Miss America pageant. He's not there to have any real meaning as far as outcome. He's there as a presiding officer. Mary Patricia, it seems like Mike Pence is coming across as a patriot, and he will attend the inaugural.
Well, I think a lot of people have a lot to do to prove their real record on this issue, and it's going to take some time. This is a good start from the vice president. As someone told me the other day, he's probably just excited that if he runs for something else again or rehabilitates his reputation, he might one day be allowed to meet with a woman alone.
Oh,
well, maybe he'll be allowed
he
again.
Not,
if I had a drum,
to meet with
I would
one
give
of
you
us.
A, I'd give you a drum
he
roll.
He does
now.
Not have lunch or coffee or without somebody being present if he's with a female. He's taking Billy Graham's advice.
It won't be me when he does.
The president did not do that with Stormy Daniels.
I take great comfort
he'll
in
return
that.
After this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana in the lightning round with Republican Scott Wilfong, Democrat Mary Patricia Ray on opposite sides of just about everything, although they have worked together on one issue I know, criminal justice reform. And if you remember, in 2015, David Vitter campaigned against it, saying John Bel Edwards was going to let all these thugs out on the street, and then he became a lobbyist for it. Amazing what lobbying can do, and lobbying's an expensive and lucrative occupation, and sitting on boards is, and let's see what happens with our governor. John Bel Edwards, he may opt to be on a board or two and then run for governor again in 2027, maybe against Jeff Landry. If you look to 2023, who do you think the top Republicans are for the governor's office, Scott?
I mean, that's where I think Garrett Graves has his best shot. Anybody in Congress that can run with a platform of having a federal office, not having to give it up, and then running in an off year, I would think Garrett would be really good. I think Kennedy could do it. I mean, of course, the problem with Kennedy is he'll be coming off a
And he's also going to be 72 years old.
And how old is Joe Biden?
Joe Biden's 78, and Trump is 74.
I think if you can run the country, you can run. Well, whether Biden can run the country remains to be seen. But I think John Kennedy
I think Garrett Graves is my congressman, and I think, you know, he's like all Republicans going to want to have his name in the mix, but ultimately won't run for governor.
Well, and you got Mike Johnson, who's also running.
And we're leaving out the big moderate, and I think that's who wins in this election in a lot of states. whether they're red or blue, because people are kind of sick of this extremist stuff. And that's our Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser.
Billy Nungesser could be a formidable candidate, because if a Democrat doesn't get in, he would get a large portion.
Oh, we're going to have some Democrats in the race.
Well, so then he has to get to a runoff, which becomes trickier.
That's why the Senate race matters, because it could, even without a prominent Democrat, and it could build infrastructure for Democrats in the governor's race.
A listener notes that Steve Scalise, if the Republicans don't regain control of the House, he could run for governor and would probably be the favorite. So
you got a question, though. Why, if Steve wouldn't run this past time when we couldn't get anything better than Rasponi and Ralph Abraham, why would he run in 2023 when it's going to be wide open and going to be much tougher to fight your way through that crowd? I don't know.
Yeah. Let's go to Chad in Central. Chad, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. You know, we talk about, Scott, you love to talk about voter fraud, but I've never heard you talk about voter suppression. And looking at black voters saved Louisiana not once but twice from people like David Vitter and Eddie Rasponi, and black people are real patriots, and they helped save this country when people, the cry of voter fraud in such states such as Georgia, that's a slap in the face to black voters in.
All right. What about voter suppression? Mary Patricia, that has been an issue. Stacey Abrams, of course, made it a critical issue in Georgia, but there have been efforts to purge people from rolls, and there have been those who have shown evidence that quite often it's people of color who get purged more often than not.
There are even more obvious examples of voter suppression, and that is that in Louisiana we don't have an expansive mail ballot program like many other states do, even red states. And those policies disproportionately impact the ability of especially African Americans to cast their ballots in our elections. We don't have to make things up. We don't have to go to the extreme examples to explain to our people across the aisle who are interested in being educated on this issue, how voter suppression works. And it also is, again, why this Senate race that's coming up matters, because even if a Democrat can't win, even if there isn't an African-American on the ballot, those kinds of races build infrastructure the way that Stacey Abrams and her amazing team was able to do in Georgia for the future, so that we can stop voter suppression. That's why those races matter.
I think there's no such thing really as voter suppression in Louisiana anymore. Anybody that wants to vote can vote. Ballots are available. Now, if you want to go to a state like Michigan or something where you can sit in a closet with a mimeograph machine churning out mail ballots,
that did not happen. There's no proof of that. The vaccine rollout proves that voter suppression exists.
And you want to know why? If you have access to a computer and can schedule your appointment and you're over 70, you have an advantage in getting your vaccine. There are certain advantages and disadvantages set up for people to vote. This just is a great extension that's an example of it.
So you're saying these poor people in North Baton Rouge, they pull out their MacBook.
Votes are being challenged are in places with a large preponderance of African-American voters. Philadelphia, Detroit, Atlanta. It is clearly a racist thing to say that these areas where blacks have large numbers of votes are the reason why Donald Trump was robbed of the election and there was massive voter fraud. There is no proof of that whatsoever.
Who said that it came from black areas?
Why are you challenging those states? Why are you looking at Atlanta? Why are you looking at Philadelphia? Why are you looking at Detroit? Those are cities that are largely African American.
Well, I don't know where the ballots came from, but I know 100,000 ballots came in Michigan with nobody marked but Joe Biden.
Okay, well, it could happen.
They could have come from the UP.
It could also mean that there was voter fraud from the Republican side.
Look, I have a lot of bias against the state of Michigan in general. As a graduate of The Ohio State University, but to say that there is any evidence of voter fraud there, I mean, I guess I just have to just
evidence.
Find it.
I'm not asking you to say there's proof, but why do we just summarily dismiss it? We're 60 days away from an election where 150 million votes were cast.
155,000 vote victory, yeah.
We claim that we know everything about it.
There must have been 156,000 cases of voter fraud, and every one of those votes went for Joe Biden. Every darn one of them. Sean in Garyville. Sean, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm really not understanding Scott here. I don't think he's getting why this is why they lost the election. The voter fraud, he keeps saying, oh, we need a commission, we need investigations. They've had them. In these states that you're contesting, in the cities that you're contesting, they've had audits. They've had signature audits. How many of these do you have to do before you find somebody that says, hey, there was fraud? Is that what's going to make you all happy?
All right.
I'm saying that there's no possible way, 70 days removed from an election where 150 million votes were cast, that there's been anything close to an effective audit to determine if voter fraud had existed. I'm not saying there's proof there was, but for people to say that there's no evidence, you haven't had the time to audit.
There have been numerous investigations. Your Supreme Court didn't entertain this. There was no proof. Obviously, if there had been, I'm sure that most of the justices of the court voted for Donald Trump. After all, three of them are on the court because of him.
The underlying message in the caller's statement was that Scott doesn't understand that this is why they lost the election. And I think the this in that statement is the messaging that ignores reality doesn't appeal to enough people to get a majority of the electors. So you've got to change your message if you want to win. That's just politics.
It took 3 years for the Democrats to realize there was no Russian collusion, and we were saying that a month. There was absolutely none. The reports showed it. It took years.
But today, did you read the Mueller report?
I read most of it. But today, we want to unequivocally say no voter fraud.
No voter fraud. Doesn't work anymore.
Scott, is Vladimir Putin a bad guy?
I wouldn't want him at my house. I don't know him personally. I mean,
okay, you can't come out and say it, can you?
I don't know.
You just
his
called
character
a few minutes
not...
ago. You called Hillary Clinton a murderer, but you're saying Vladimir Putin's okay.
Oh,
all
yeah,
right.
No, is he of high character? No, I don't think so.
Steve, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, I just have to call all of you to task. All of a sudden, John Kennedy is the bad guy in this, but the rest of the Louisiana delegation that voted against for disenfranchising 70 million people is okay.
I don't think
yeah,
anybody
I
said
that.
Yeah, I
want Derek Grave to be our governor because he voted for that.
All right.
I don't think anybody said that. Point. I think we said that John Kennedy's up for re-election in 2 years.
And also Bill Cassidy voted the other way. Bill Cassidy voted to uphold the election in both cases. Scott, did he make the right call?
I think that's why we elect people to Congress. They get to vote their conscience. That's why we're a republic and not,
right?
not a pure democracy.
And then when they vote their conscience or fail to do so, we unelect them.
But when an election turns out the way you want, it's over, done with, no fraud, nothing. Let's don't even look into it.
Right.
But when Trump wins
yes,
in 2016,
that's what you did in 2016,
we need to spend we need to spend 3 years looking into phony Russian collusion.
I think
give me
you
a
find
break.
Your own
Trump,
hypocrisy pretty well.
When Trump lost to Cruz in Iowa, he said it was a rigged election. On the eve of the Hillary Clinton election in 16, he said it was a rigged election. Anytime he thinks he's going to lose or does lose, he says it's rigged. He cannot accept defeat. He lost, and he lost in a landslide.
What if he's right, though?
He's not right. I mean, come on, Scott. But, not one state was decided by fewer than 10,000 votes.
What if you're wrong, Scott? What if you're wrong?
Why do we want to pretend like we have all the information
why
to make that,
so that
determination?
Scary? Why
can't
is it so
we
scary
just
to be
give
wrong?
It time?
No more right than Michael Dukakis would have been. Michael Tank Dukakis, if he would have said,
Bailey.
I'm the winner in 1988. Let's go to William in Opelousas. William, you're on. Good morning. Please be brief, William.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning to your guests. Jim, I want to remind Scott that President Trump said that if he lose, there was going to be a civil war. And I never heard Scott complaining about voter fraud when President Trump won in 2016.
Nor did he complain about the gallows set up on the lawn of the Washington.
Last caller, Dominic in Grand Coteau.
Of the Capitol.
We only have a few seconds, but Dominic, you're on, my friend.
All right, sure. Scott can't dismiss and acknowledge what Putin is. Says everything about Republicans and this president, period.
All right. Well, he did say he was not a good man, but topic for another day. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Mary Patricia.
Thanks
for having us, Jim.
Tomorrow, it's Alex Martin, the chief news editor of the Wall Street Journal, graduate of LSU. We'll talk with him about how it is in New York City post-election. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support. Stay safe and stay tuned.